You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, don't you, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the war, and I'd like to give the information, asking for the good blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we got a good one for you tonight. We really do, but I want to first start with a headline. Hillary is nice, and there's no such thing as false flags or conspiracy theories, and you have to believe that now if you want to get heard, if you're in the independent media. I just want to note that YouTube, you'll love this, YouTube took down a video because I said Russia is providing Syria with more surface-to-air anti-aircraft missile defense. Funny, I saw that on CNN and Fox. But if you're in the independent media, you can't get away with saying that in social media platforms. And just very quickly, I'm going to tell you this. There's stuff coming. There's action coming. I've talked to a number of, let's say, heavy hitters. And there's a backlash. And we're going to be asking you to join us against this blatant censorship against the independent media, who really is the only one who's telling the truth. Anyway, we are brought to you by BeCandid.com. You know, I told you I've lost employment over what I do here. Actually, I lost employment for standing up to John McCain trying to save my property. And I understand if you can't take that risk, but you want to express your views. Well, we got the perfect answer for you. Go to BeCandid.com and sign up for the Common Sense Show, and you can be whoever you want. You can be John from Mars, for all I'm concerned, but you get to tell it as it is. You really do, and it's really kind of a fun site. I've been up there. And I've actually got some story ideas from people up there, and I really do appreciate that. BeCandid.com. We're also brought to you by Renaissance Precious Metals. My good friend Steve Quayle converting your soon-to-be worthless cash. Did you see where the IMF decashed everything? That's a warning sign, folks. That's a chest pain before the heart attack. I'd give Steve a call tomorrow so he can help you with a conversion. 406-586-4842. 406-586-4842. And you're going to need food, guns, gold, ammo, water. Well, in addition to the gold, we can help you with the food. And that's where Pneumonic comes in. And, you know, the Health Ranger, my good friend Mike Adams, did a comparison test between Pneumonic and everybody else. And respectfully, everybody else lost. Find out why Pneumonic is the best in the world, best prices, best tasting, restaurant quality. Go to Pneumonic.com/Hodges. Listen carefully. 5% off for our listening audience. Use the coupon code Hodges, N-O-V-5. So that's Pneumonic.com/Hodges. Coupon code Hodges, N-O-V-5. And, you know, we'll hit up. We're brought to you by a lot of people. We'll hit some in the second hour and some in the third hour. But to keep this operation going, we do depend on our sponsors. We ask that you patronize them because we bring you products that we feel that you need or you're going to need. And we also accept generous donations. You can see that on the Common Sense Show. My YouTube income has been wiped out. And I had another source of income wiped out due to censorship. And, you know, right now we're running this operation at a deficit. And that can't go on indefinitely. And I'm not here begging for money. I'm just telling you, all of us in the independent media are feeling the squeeze. I am not alone. In fact, I'm one of almost everyone who's going through this right now. And if they get their way, soon you'll be listening to Wolf Blitzer for the truth. And only Wolf Blitzer. And you know what's funny? I outdraw Wolf Blitzer. The Hagmans kill Wolf Blitzer in the ratings. And speaking of the Hagmans, we have my good friend Joe Hagman. We'll get to him in just a second. Second hour, We're going to have Patrick Wood. Oh, he's got some great stuff. Why are the trilaterals and the CFR guys showing up in our government? We're going to talk about that and other things. Third hour, Paul Preston, Oroville Dam, and he's got some information regarding the potential for World War III that I'm not seeing anywhere else. I've written on it based on Paul's account, and no one else is talking about it, and we're going to talk about that too. Mr. Joe Hagman is one half of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I call them the best show on radio, and I think they are. That's my unqualified opinion. But when I hear good radio out there, and there's a lot of good radio, Ted Brower is a great talk show host, has great material. Steve Quayle, when he gets behind the mic, I don't think there's anybody better. But day-to-day operations, you know, I put my money on the Hagman and Hagman Report. They put out this email distribution from their live broadcast, and I catch at least some of it every single day. It's really, really good stuff, and they're aptly managed by our friend John Robertson, who we're going to have back on, because he's got more Hollywood Insider stuff. But right now, we got Joe Hagman, and we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. Joe, welcome to the show. It's always great to have you and or your father on, and this has really become a quality hour. People love it. They look forward to it. What do you got for us tonight?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for allowing us, both me and my father, the opportunity to come on. You know, the only thing that we hope to do when we're as doing this radio show is to provide the truth, regardless of where that truth lands, and for people out there to appreciate it. Well, we just we can't thank you enough and tell you how much we appreciate having those listeners out there who actually take the time, learn, and it helps them in their day-to-day analysis of the news and world events. And we got a lot.
You guys do such an awesome job, Joe, and really the privilege is ours here at the Common Sense Show. It's just such a good marriage. I hope it's working for the two of you as well as it's working for us, because my listeners absolutely love you guys. In fact, we have a lot of crossover listenership, and I think it benefits both of us. Anyway, we got so much going on, Joe. There is so much in the world. You know, I was getting kind of bored since the inauguration, and now I can't keep up. And so where do you want to start?
Well, first of all, I just want to let you know, I'm in my backyard on some porch furniture, which is beautiful up here, almost 70 degrees, and we're supposed to have that for the next few days. So I'm really enjoying it. But, yeah, the news is, it was such a crazy week. And since we haven't talked, or you haven't talked with my dad on air since last Sunday, let's kind of give a brief overview of how the week started and what we were looking at. The news cycle, the news story of the beginning of the week was the unmasked Susan Rice being named as the person who unmasked the intelligence reports and the American names on the intelligence reports that were being leaked to, well, both being given to the president and President Obama and his administration, as well as being, leaked to journalists like Bloomberg and the New York Times. And it's come out now that Susan Rice was the person who unmasked the names, even though 2 weeks prior to this coming into light, she gave an interview to PBS and was asked questions regarding Nunez and what revelation he saw. And she went on to say, well, I have no idea. I don't know, you know, what he's talking about. And then went on to kind of take herself away from any accountability or liability with the intelligence and unmasking situation. Well, lo and behold, 2 weeks later, she is named. It's found out that she is the one behind the unmasking of American citizens, including General Flynn. And she goes on Andrea Mitchell, and they downplay it. They make it seem like it was part of a routine, part of her duties as national security advisor, even though she says some very interesting things in the article, one being that the intelligence increased after the election when the president himself asked for intelligence reports that were related to the Trump-Russia story. And there's a lot of questions, and one thing I find interesting is the week began with news narratives where with the Susan Rice story, and you had many on the left, even Don Lemon, which surprised me, opened his show the day the Susan Rice story broke, with a disclaimer, going on to state, I'm not going to insult your intelligence or the intelligence of the audience. Russia was...
Joe, I've got to interrupt you. We're getting a lot of interference right now.
Okay.
Okay, so can you kind of reorient if you can?
Yeah. I apologize.
That's fine. That's
we'll
much better
fixed.
Right there. Thank you.
Give me 30 seconds. I'm going to put the phone on mute, and I'm going to set up inside here. Hold on.
Okay. So this is Joe's walking music, 1-2-3, March 1-2-3 for Joe Hagman. Anyway, just to remind you, we're going to be joined in the second hour again by Patrick Wood, and it's really going to be damning when we talk about CFR and trilaterals inside the government now, and we're going to talk about why that's important, and then Paul Preston, update on the Oroville Dam, it's not good, and a really key fact about what I think might be the coming World War III. So we're still waiting for Joe to walk in and set up.
Any better?
Okay. Let me just give out when you're on the air here, right mid-sentence here, where Joe comes on 7 to 10 with his father, right here on Global Star, the same way you're listening to me, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, every Monday through Friday, and it is awesome. Okay, Joe, so let's go back to where we left off.
So we have the big bombshell breakthrough, which some are saying is you know, well beyond Watergate as far as the scandal's concerned. And the story breaks Monday, Tuesday. You have the political pundits weighing in. You have former, you know, secretaries of state, of defense, Homeland Security weighing in. And you have former intelligence, members of the former intelligence community and current community weighing in. Well, bottom line is, we knew that there were, one, leaks in the White House. Trump's classified material was being leaked to news media, and as well as the intelligence feeding it to different people through their channels, which got back to different forms of media, as well as the geopolitical circles who deal with foreign policy and whatnot inside the Trump administration. What people call the deep state. And this is what we're seeing, this continued war between the deep state, the neocons, the progressives, the globalists, and Trump. And I believe it's Trump who is standing alone. There's a huge rift internally at the White House this last week. A lot of misinformation, too, about Steve Bannon. Mm-hmm. It was said that he was removed from the National Intelligence, the National Security Committee. And if you read his statement, he basically justifies it by saying he was there to oversee Flynn. And because his job was done, Flynn got caught lying and was ousted. He's no longer needed in or as the head of the National Security Committee. And we saw the article saying Flynn's out, he's going to, Brennan's out, he's going to quit. Well, those were a jump to conclusion. On Friday, he sat inside the National Security Committee. So he is still a top Trump aide and serving a function in that committee. So there was a shift of power, though. There was a transfer of responsibilities. But we have this Syria gas attack this week, and Kushner, he's Ivanka Trump's husband, the son-in-law of Trump, and there seems to be, according to reports, an internal strife between Bannon, who is a staunch anti-establishment and a Republican. And also, not only that he's not anti-establishment, he seems to have his pulse on the alternative media and much of Trump's base of supporters and what they want. So we have this gas attack in Syria this last week, and there were many questions that were brought up because of this. I'm not sure how much you covered in this, Dave.
Quite a bit.
Last gas attack that was blamed on Assad was from 2013. And after investigations, even though you won't see the mainstream media reflect this as referring to this last gas attack, they go back to 2013 and say Assad did it. Even though it was proven Assad had nothing to do with it, it was the rebels who were the ones who initiated the attack. The former UK Prime Minister or Ambassador to Syria said it best this week. He said these interventionalists are like dogs returning to their own vomit. Meaning, they have no new tricks or are not using new tricks to try to re-intervene in the Middle East, whether that's troops on the ground, regime change, whatever. We saw on the 30th of March, Nikki Haley, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., state that regime change in Syria was no longer a priority. Then, a few days later, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said the same thing. Our objective is not to remove Assad, but for peace in the Syrian civil war conflict. A few days after that, all of a sudden there's a gas attack on civilians, which makes me ask, what possible motive does Assad have, and why would he do this? And I cannot find a good answer for the life of me. I mean, many people will disagree. The media, I think the intelligence reports, and I think Trump was manipulated into believing these intelligence reports, that Assad was behind the attack. He had no reason to do it. He had everything to lose. Why draw eyeballs from everybody in the world who pays attention to the political events at a time where the people responsible for the civil war in your country just said that regime change was no longer on the table? I mean, why bring all that back and create for yourself the image as the enemy of humanity?
He had nothing to gain. In fact, he was 48 hours away from signing an accord which would have left him in power. He had won. There was nothing to do. And now I'm getting reports, Joe, that the first responders on the scene weren't even wearing hazmat suits. No gloves. I mean...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's so much more there. You know, first it was the first day it happened, the 4th of April here, it was reported as chlorine barrel bombs that were dropped from Syrian government fighter jets. This was what the strike on the airstrip or airfield was, and why that specific airfield was targeted was because of the United States stating that this is where the cache of Assad's chemical weapons was. And then to take that back a little bit, there were reports from the end of 2013 through 2015, Obama himself, John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, all of them, in numerous ways of getting this out, whether it was White House press release, Twitter, questions and interviews, emphatically stated that through their cooperation with Russia, that Syria had destroyed 100% of their chemical weapons. It was listed as an achievement on the White House's website. So that's one question we need to ask ourselves, is why did the Obama administration, as well as the UN, state that they had no more chemical weapons or chemical weapon stockpiles in Syria? And that's one part. And you look again, and you see the history, the 2013 gas attack. You had Assad blamed for this. This was when the red line comment from Obama was issued. And everybody kind of told him, or in the news and in the circles in Washington, basically made a mockery of him because, you know, they said, the red line was crossed that you made. Are you going to take action? And he decided to do nothing. So there's that, even though he was the one that destabilized a numerous amount of countries in the Middle East. So I believe Trump issued the strike on the airbase for a number of reasons. Political reasons, here domestically, political relations between him, the Democrats, and the media, to kind of distance himself from the accusations that were coming on him about Russia, which were obviously unfounded, as well as to show different leaders around the world, Kim Jong-un, for one. He's been he's been saber-rattling a lot lately. And he was meeting with the president of China, and he issued a quick, decisive strike. It was not aimed at any civilian populations. He gave Russia a heads-up, saying pull any and all troops in that area. and he sent $85 million worth of jets to blow up some Syrian airplanes. So I think it was more a political message and a strategy domestically. I was very upset about the interventionalism. Trump ran on a non-interventionalist platform. He ridiculed Obama in 2013 about the red line. And it seems as though he has fallen into the rhino's pocket or doing the rhino's bidding.
Well,
I'm not ready to give up on him yet. I think if this was the one and only strike to send the message, I think we're okay. But a lot of people are very upset with him.
Yeah, I'm not in the okay camp. I'm not in the jump off the bus camp yet, but I am highly concerned. Let me put on my Jared Kushner Mossad neocon hat. Jared Kushner is a bad, bad dude. And people who listened to the show last week heard Ted Brewer and myself eviscerate him. I did it today again in print.
Yeah.
I did it 6 weeks ago when I said he's going to cause Trump problems. Bingo, here we are. Now, let me tell you what I think is going on, Joe, and this is something that I've arrived at since I published or broadcast anything. But what I think is happening here is this, is that I think you're correct in that Kushner was the one that steered Trump with the help of Trump's daughter to go after these people in the Middle East. It was a convenient lie to believe. Here's why it's convenient. Do you hear the mainstream media? The Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. That's gone away. Do you hear warmonger McCain? The Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. He is being quiet. So's Lindsey Graham. So's Nancy Pelosi. Trump has made the neocons happy. Jared Kushner probably told him, look, we're not really sure what happened here, but it's going to be an empty airbase. You're not going to really hurt that many people. Drop some bombs on there. And, oh, by the way, Mr. President, do it when the Chinese president is meeting with you so you can cause him to almost want to go to the bathroom in his pants, and that'll serve a message, hands off Taiwan, because he'll get you too. I don't think it did too much towards North Korea, because we're going to take that crazy guy out. Nothing would scare him. So that's my operating hypothesis right now, Joe. Trump was manipulated by Jared Kushner, but this shows a failure in executive leadership either way. We all know this is false flag. So therefore, Trump is guilty of bad leadership, or he's a traitor to the cause. It's one or the other.
And your assessment is correct. And I'll tell you my own perspective. When I first saw this, we were on air, my father and I. We were talking with IQ Al Razuli, and we were going over the Muslim culture. And this is a man who has put his money where his mouth is. I believe it's $10,000 or $100,000, or maybe it's $1 million bet he has out to anybody who can prove him wrong that Islam is a religion of peace or something to that effect. IQ Al Razuli. And he came on from 8 to 10 on Thursday, and we were talking about the gas attack. I don't know how many of your listeners know this, probably a lot because they're a very well-informed audience. But, Dave, have you gone on YouTube and have you seen the video? It's a fake terrorist attack. You see a few people drive up in a truck, walk over to another truck across the street, get back in their truck, drive away after giving a signal, and it's like an IED. The truck blows up. And then you have about 30 people that run into the area where the car's on fire. With fake blood, they all lay down, and then you have rescue workers run in. It's basically a Hollywood production of a terror attack, only this was real CCTV footage from Iraq. And what it does, it looks like a terrorist attack if you watch it after the people are laying down and the rescue workers come. But afterwards, they all get up, and they're smiling and high-fiving. And me and my wife had an interesting conversation about how the human mind has been controlled through propaganda, starting with we're looking at back to the Roman Empire and before, the different ways that they've used propaganda, whether it's through art or they had the I can't remember the name, the announcers when they were back in the Roman days, where they had their trumpets and they would make announcements to print media. The narrative has always been able to be controlled, and one of the things that we're getting into, and we've been into, is the alternative media, which the narrative cannot be controlled when there are thousands of individuals analyzing events, doing the backup research, looking at history, and have the common sense and mental fortitude to be able to connect the dots to where these things don't make sense. So every time my wife, and the reason I bring this up is my wife and I, on Friday night, I spent 2 hours with her showing her different historical examples of fake news, from the babies being thrown out of incubators to, you know, the weapons of mass destruction, to the fake news broadcast about them being in Saudi Arabia when they're in CNN, when they were on CNN.
I agree. We're talking about the Sandy Hook.
We see.
This is the Sandy Hook of the
Hollywood
Middle East.
Makes movies, and we get the news.
So you're saying, I'll say it again, Sandy Hook of the Middle East.
Yes, yes. And folks, if you go to our website, HagmanReport.com, that's HagmanReport.com, after I get off the interview with Dave, give me about 20 minutes, I will post the one example, and you can find thousands on YouTube, of these people in the Middle East, in Iraq, faking a terror attack. And it is literally one minor example of a huge, huge, you know, we talk about the crisis actors and the people who get paid to do these things. The propaganda laws here in the U.S., it's not illegal for them to spew propaganda. So I don't really believe a lot of what I see on TV. And there's it's not that I'm optimistic by nature. So it's hard when you look at the TV and you have to wonder if what I am seeing is done to play on my emotions, to get a response or to affect my mind in a way that I won't be thinking correctly, or is it true? And with the culture of Hollywood and TV and the special effects and the CGI, it's almost like you can't believe anything you see at face value, unless maybe if you saw it for yourself.
Joe, you know, you're making my wheels turn here a little bit. The more you talk, the more I hear the words coming out of Mossad Jared Kushner's dirty, filthy, rotten mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And can Trump really be that easily manipulated? See, I think a wink and a nod, and Trump's told, ain't going to be that bad, really, you'll look good, you'll get everyone off your backside, and meanwhile, the globalists move one step closer to war. This is the bad part. If he went along with Kushner for political expediency to get the media and Congress off his backside, then he is playing political games that's putting this country in jeopardy for World War III. I'm not happy.
Oh, absolutely. And this is what's troublesome. You know, he surrounded himself with people who are in finance from Goldman Sachs and others who don't have a good history of looking out for what's best with the American people or their customers in their respective fields. You have people like Trump's daughter, Ivanka, who's married to Jared Kushner. He's from a specific sect of Judaism. And Ted Brewer brought this out on our show, and I have not looked into it. And he's also a heavy supporter of Democrats. And possibly there's a $260-some million loan or debt between Soros and Kushner.
Yes.
There's a lot of angry people about this, and rightfully so. Not that he's not a bad guy. I don't know him. I don't know his policies. But based on his background and his affiliations, he might have the ability to influence Trump more so than much of his most trusted and qualified staff, from generals to, you know, just about anybody who's in there. And again, I think that's why we might be seeing a shift with Bannon. Lots of people will call Bannon racist, a white nationalist. But regardless of that, one thing he is he is a hawk when it comes to understanding how to spin things in the proper context. You know, how to take a story of truth and how to spin it in a way that will captivate the audience's attention or get the message across very efficiently. And to see him and Kushner fighting, and if Kushner is to win out, that's worrisome. Because we can't have... one thing that Paul Joseph Watson, he did a video about a month ago where he showed a tweet saying that foreign policy, he believed, would be one of the one issue where Trump ran into a lot of problems. And he was right. Trump's a great businessman. He's a great leader. But when you have a deep state and intelligence agencies working against you, the news media constantly working against you, half the American people think you're some kind of, you know, racist Russian spy, it's hard. And it could have been just as much of a political move to kind of stifle those critics, as well as a strategical message to places like China, North Korea, and whatnot. With that being said, I believe if Kim Jong-un continues this current pattern of behavior, we will be looking at a conflict in some way with North Korea, or at least, at the very least, a regime change.
Well, the whatever we do has to directly take him out, because if we go after eyes and ears of their command and control like we do most when we do a first strike, that won't do the job. He'll turn around, he'll launch nukes at Japan, and he'll launch if he can hit the U.S. So we have to... I really looked for a SEAL team to go in and take care of the job. That's really what I thought would happen. I'm kind of surprised that they're moving the Vinson Carrier Task Force there, because now you're inviting Chinese intervention when you could have gone about this more covertly. What do you think, Joe?
Are you talking about the exercises that are being conducted in South Korea?
No, I'm talking about the Vinson sailing from Singapore into that region. And they've already entered the Sea of Japan. That was this morning.
And okay.
This is a very, very big deal. This crossed... Let me tell you how bad our mainstream media is. This is a related story. My family and I are out to dinner last night. It's about 6 o'clock Pacific time. And my phone started lighting up with text messages from people in Europe who were reading what was going on in their local media about this task force headed towards North Korea. And I go, well, that's odd. And then about a half hour later, Paul Martin from revolutionradio.org, and people need to check his site out, it's awesome, he told me by text that this is true, and he quoted me two sources. And then one of my sources rolled in on this. I mean, this was the whole dinner, and by the time we're done with dinner, we had our waitress ready to go hide in the corner because she was overhearing this stuff. And this is how it came to me. Our mainstream media had to finally admit it, that they were 5 hours behind the breaking of that story with the Vinson. And there's another carrier involved, too, and I'm going to save that for Paul Preston in the third hour. But there's another aspect going on that parallels the Vinson, and I'm going to tell people you got to stay tuned for the third hour to get that. But, Joe, what I look at here is this is a provocative move that invites China to get ready to move on Taiwan as a retaliation. And I just think it should have been quiet, gone in, get the guy, get out, and not have a major military confrontation. I mean, what's your opinion on that? Are the SEALs good enough to pull this off?
Those are some very great questions. And if I had to give my analysis from what I see so far, one, we see a lot of political rhetoric being thrown around. We saw the Prime Minister of Russia said this almost drew us into a conflict. We've seen reports that the military communication channels between China and Russia from the Pentagon are being severed. We've seen countries like Iran saying that this is not going to be tolerated. We're going to, you know, take some actions. A Russian destroyer was launched into the Mediterranean right near where the two U.S. destroyers were. I think it's a lot of posturing. I do not believe for one second that there is going to be a conflict from this event. Now, one thing I'll tell you to watch for is a false flag terror attack in Syria, whether it's a chemical... I would imagine it would be a chemical weapon attack. Now, according to the Obama administration and people like John Kerry and Susan Rice, in 2015, 2016, they went on a number of news shows and did interviews, promoting the fact that they destroyed 1,000 or 100% of the chemical weapons in Syria. and apparently were complying with UN regulations. So when this was reported, it came out, I think it was Monday, that first it was a chlorine barrel bombs that were the result of the attack. Then the narrative changed the very next day, and it was a sarin gas. Well, there was, and there have been, a lot of critics talking about the way that this was handled, meaning the doctors using their bare hands when sarin is a toxic gas that can kill you just by transferring the poison from someone's pores to another person's pores. And you know, it's a very contagious, if you're exposed to it, which it doesn't take much, especially if you're dealing with those who are already dying or have died from the disease, then it's protocol to cover yourself, face mask, a little hazmat suit and gloves. And we saw a number of people on those videos, you know, just using their bare hands to deal with children. One doctor in particular, Shajul Islam, he has been called the hero of the chemical attacks. And he has a very sketchy history. He is a former doctor. His medical license was pulled because he was arrested for kidnapping and the torture of two United Kingdom journalists, and is still waiting to be sentenced. His brother was the terrorist who beheaded Jim Foley. And this is the guy who is the spokesman for the alleged chemical attacks in Syria. So when we see people like John McCain, Nancy Pelosi promoting what Trump did as good, it is, and ISIS promotes it, and Hillary Clinton promoted it, that makes me, it gives me some worries. At the same time, I would hope that Trump knows that this was a one-time thing and take his own advice from what he said to Obama in 2013 on Twitter.
Well, the doctor you just mentioned, I mean, this, I hadn't heard this story. This is incredible. What do they say? Hey, stay in the waiting room. The doctor's preparing the guillotine. I mean, what the hell is going on? How can anyone even believe this narrative if it's true?
I don't know. And if you look at some of the videos where he is allegedly treating the victims, he's doing this, and it's funny, there are reports, and I've confirmed this, that gas masks from Britain arrived 3 days before the attack.
Yes.
I'm not sure who put this out, but there was a tweet on social media and Facebook that stated that there was going to be a story about a gas attack that was going to change the narrative in the media. And right when the Susan Rice story started gaining traction, which I don't think will go away, but to take the current, from taking that off of the top of the mainstream news for 72 hours with this distraction, they did a good job. And I think that Trump, as I said, acted for strategic maneuver politically, domestically, here to deal with the media, and to send a sign internationally. I'm not sure if there's been a toll on the number of deaths, but I would imagine it's very minimal. And the runway was still functioning the day after.
Can't believe it, Joe. Can't believe it, given what you're telling me. Can't believe anything now that comes out of that report. Maybe this is why Trump would have signed off on it, because no one really died. You know what else happened, Joe? Excuse me, Mr. Podesta, do you want pepperoni or mushroom pizza? No one's talking about this now. How convenient is that? I mean, Pizzagate, Pedogate, whatever you want to call it, has disappeared, and our attention has been distracted.
Yeah. And you know, that of many of the stories that are out there, that's never going away. It might take a back seat during some news cycles, but I got to tell you, and I got to hand it to the thousands and thousands of citizens and journalists out there who are, you know, digging deep into the internet, looking through business connections. I mean, the investigations that I've seen some of these citizens journalists do are amazing. I mean, you talk about, you know, sleuths. These guys are the real deal, and they're never letting this go. And I don't expect the Pizzagate narrative to go away. I do see what Alex Jones, and Paul Joseph Watson has done, moving the controversy away from Pizzagate and just using the terms international sex trafficking ring, elite sex trafficking. to kind of take the stigmata away from the EP.
Joe, that's what out-of-court settlements will do. It'll change your language.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah, I'm not buying that as a narrative now. I mean, Alex, you know the story there, and God bless Alex. I hope he prevails. Because I think for the majority of his reports and Paul Joseph Watson's reports, they were dead center on the money. That's my personal belief. But there may be some technicalities in there they missed on, and this is, you know, what they're being persecuted for. So that does change your narrative. That does change how you present things. And God help them, because through the grace of God, you know, there go I. So I'm not judging them at all. But I will tell you this. Let me just make this one last statement about this. Child sex trafficking is present in America, it's present in Russia, it's present in Japan, China, Israel, the entire elite of the world. Some members, the UK, huge in this, they're all into it. They're all a bunch of perverts. That's why the world's so screwed up. Satan rules the planet.
Yes, he does. Satan in the Bible is titled the Prince of the Power of the Air. He is also known as basically the King of this world, or God, small g. Which is why when Jesus was tempted by Satan, he was able to offer him all the kingdoms of what? Of the world. It's because the world is under the parameters which God has established. Satan is allowed to work. A great example of this is if you look at the book of Job. Satan approached God and said, Job, and I'm paraphrasing here, only worships you because he's blessed and the hedge of protection you put around him. So he asked, Satan said, that take these away and he'll curse you to your face. And I'm wrapping this up very short because Job is a great informative book. But bottom line is that Job had everything taken away, his family, his land, his wealth, and his own health. And he refused to curse God and continued to bless him, proving Satan wrong. But we need to look at this as each and every believer's own circumstances in life. Our faith will be tested. And we know that God doesn't test our faith, but Satan's like a roaring lion looking to seek, kill, and destroy. And that's his mission, and that's what he will do constantly. And we're told in Scripture also that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But it doesn't say no weapon won't be formed against us. It doesn't say that they're not going to try. The Scripture in Jesus said we have the authority to tread over certain. And the problem today is so many Christians, due to these puffy preachers and their light message, they don't preach about sin. They don't preach about damnation. And we are not only are we not taught our authority over these things, but many Christians refuse.
Yeah, I hear you. Joe, I also hear something in the background here. It sounds like the jets for war are taking off in your backyard.
Oh,
is that what I'm hearing?
It's a 70-degree night, and I'm sitting on my porch, so you might hear some traffic.
That's okay. It's not distracting from the message. I just thought I was sitting next to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and the sorties are getting ready to relocate.
You know, I got a lady. Six great months of nice weather, so we take advantage of every minute.
You know, I suppose I should be outside right now, too, because we're at about, 77 right now. But we're that way every day, so I'm spoiled. Until it gets to the summer, and then your organs melt. Back to this whole deal, to put a cap on this, I can see your point. If this is a one-time deal, and Trump saw political gain from doing this, and Trump realized that this is probably a Sandy Hook operation and no one's going to die, and there are some indicators on the ground that that might be true. I can't prove it conclusively. But it still bothers me because we have one carrier task force moving in one direction. We have another one preparing for the Strait of Hormuz. We have yet more action going on that indicate war is coming. And he facilitated the war effort by doing what he did. I don't care what the political expediency was, how harmless the event was. He moved this country in the wrong direction.
You're absolutely right. And Many loyal Trump supporters are very angry and upset, and rightfully so, about what he did. He ran one of the main, besides immigration, one of and making America great again through tax reforms and changing how efficient we are. One of the main things that I think people voted not only for Trump for, but for Obama 8 years ago, was for the what Obama said, and what I hope Trump's trying to do, is to not interfere in other countries' sovereign business. We've seen the quote-unquote, you know, democracy building in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Tunisia, in Egypt, in Libya. We took the regimes, and if you think before 9/11, how many times did we hear about Bashar al-Assad gassing his people or murdering his people? He was a protector of Christians. He was a protector of Muslims. He was a person who ran a secular government, and he protected these religious classes. Gaddafi, he was the same way. He might have been a dictator, but, you know, he used his oil money that the country had in resources and redistributed that wealth among his citizens. You didn't hear, you know, aside from the Lockerbie bombing, how often did we hear of these humanitarian atrocities taking place in places like Egypt and Libya and Tunisia, etc. But now he's being painted as being some despot because there's been a civil war that was not started by him or any of his policies, but interventionists in the West continuing to push their objective of progressivism. And look at the results. This is what started ISIS. This is what continues to embolden Al-Qaeda. There's no nation building. It's theft of resources. And who's there crying when, you know, 750,000 people have died in the Syrian civil war already? No, nothing. But, you know, heaven forbid there's an attack using some kind of gas, which hasn't been proven or established either way, and now we're launching missiles after him. He's going against every supporter who voted for him for the sole purpose of staying out of sovereign nations' issues, unless it posed a national security or threat, you know, that was far and beyond anything normal. And he's going backwards on exactly what he said he was going to do, and that is very disappointing. But if it's just for this purpose, if it's a strategical political move, and it's a one-time thing, I mean, I can get past it, and I hope others can too, but it needs to end there. Otherwise, we're looking at, you know, George Bush 3.0.
Yeah. One article I wrote in the past few days was entitled, "Can Donald Trump Come Back from the Brink of Being a Neocon?" Because that's what he did. There's no taking it. And a lot of people were really upset with me. Oh, you're jumping off the bandwagon. He's only been in office for 100 days. You know, it doesn't matter if he's been in office for 2 days. The campaign pledge was to stay the heck out of other countries. And this was none of our business. And clearly it was a false flag. And I'm so disappointed in him. So disappointed. Because despite the fact that he's made progress in cutting down on illegal immigration, he's made progress on keeping jobs in America to the tune of over 200,000 jobs. Those are very notable accomplishments. If you go to war, you undo all of the good that you've done.
Yeah, when I saw this week John McCain praising, before the missiles even were launched at Syria, John McCain praising Donald Trump and, you know, his newfound idea of how to handle Syria, I knew something was wrong. When people like Hillary Clinton were saying hours before the attack that she would basically do the same thing. Not that I have no idea why people still listen to her or why she's even relevant, but you know, when ISIS celebrates you, when the neocons celebrate you, when the mainstream media celebrates you, you know that you are not on the right side. And like I said, hopefully it's a one-time thing, and hopefully we move forward from here and focus on issues that affect America, from tax reform to getting the legislation for the health care pass and many others.
Exactly. Well, Joe, we got about a minute left. At this time, we always talk about your dad's book because I think it's important work. because it brings in the satanic, demonic situation to the grassroots level. We know about Hillary, and your dad uncovered it at the family level in terms of what was involved in this ritualistic killing. Tell everyone about your dad's book in case they haven't heard. This is very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely, and thanks for the opportunity. The book is called Stained by Blood, Stained by Blood. And what's interesting about this book is that it is a first-hand experience of a murder investigation that really got my father into the insurance, and not only the insurance investigations, but so much more, looking into criminal investigations, where he had a personal family member, his uncle, murdered. And the police didn't solve it, and the story is about his experience and what he uncovered during that investigation. Without giving away any spoilers, it launched his PI career, but he found some of the things that we see in the darkest parts of our political and evil leaders in this world and what they do. And it ties into today. It's a great book, Stained by Blood. You can find it on stainedbyblood.com, Amazon, or hagmanreport.com.
Yeah, it's really, really, really good. Joe, excuse me, we got about 30 seconds here before we got to close. Tell everyone what you got coming up on the Hagman and Hagman Report this week.
Oh, goodness, Dave. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but we have a few things off the top of my head. Stan Dale won't be with us this Tuesday, but we have Pastor David Langford. We have Jeremy Wiles coming up. He is the son of Rick Wiles. He's a filmmaker. And he'll be on with us. And we have a few specialists both dealing with the Syrian situation, people on the ground there in Syria, as well as important economic guests coming on to talk about not only the state of the economy, but the state of commodities. Gas, I don't know if you know this, the rise in gas prices lately, to gold and silver, and other things that we should be looking out for, and the bubbles, the anything from the student loan, the housing market, to the stock market. There are bubbles out there, and people need to understand that it's just as bad, if not worse, from 2007.
You're exactly right about that. Well, Joe, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. Happy Easter to you as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And
that's next week,
Steve,
right?
Steve Quayle says it all when he says there's not another solution to these problems other than a spiritual one. And the more we get into this, the more I see the wisdom of that comment. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Dave. And just real quick, Easter, that's next Sunday, correct?
Yes.
Okay. You doing a show?
We're going to do a recent pre-record during the week. So people that want a show are going to get one. Anyway, we got to scoot. We are out of time, my friend.
Thanks, Dave.
We'll see everybody in hour number two with Patrick Wood.